Parents in the throes of rearing children are painfully aware of the mixed blessing that comes with their God-given assignment. On one hand, nothing brings a deeper sense of purpose and reward. On the other hand, nothing brings a deeper sense of fear and failure. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll introduces a practical series on this relevant topic. He's preached hundreds of sermons on the family, but never at this stage in life, when the years have brought accumulated insight and an even deeper respect for the profound wisdom of Scripture. Our first topic is discovering your child and yourself.
I'm very excited about the beginning of a brand new series that we're going to be addressing on biblical parenting. Now, I realize when I say that some of you are not parents. A number of you have never married, and therefore it sounds like it will be for only a select few. Furthermore, others of us have reared our families, and you might wonder, what does this have to say to me, since the children are all out of the nest, as if parenting ever ended, which it does not. The things I have to share, I want to say this carefully, will be things, for the most part, you've never heard before. As a matter of fact, I'm ready to say that because of the things that you have not known, you may have experienced the things in your own life that you have experienced that have given you trouble in later years, or it may explain why you lost one or two of your children as they left in a huff, as it were, and have not yet returned and may never. And I know that's a sober way to put it. That's serious stuff. But it makes me very interested in communicating something that not even Cynthia or I knew as we began having our family. And I am so grateful for some of the teaching of Dr. Joe Temple in Abilene, now gone, and our friendship and the things I learned from him and a series of messages he brought of a similar nature. Therefore, I want you to find the outline that is in your worship folder. Take it out, unfold it, get a pen, and be ready to take some notes. The reason I say that is because some of the things I say will be forgotten, and I don't want you to forget them, and they will not be easily remembered, even if you do write them down. So the review part of this message will occur again and again so that we really do get this foundational information straight. I wish I had heard it when I was a teenager, or when I was a young adult, or before we ever married, certainly before we started having children. But I didn't, and God has a wonderful way of taking up the slack, thank goodness. He gives us a second time around as grandparents, so I'll be speaking to grandparents as well. The thing you will enjoy about this information is it will not only help you discover who your child is, it will help you discover, perhaps more than ever in your life, who you are and why you became what you did become, especially why you spent so many years involved in things you now look back on with great regret. Now, with that as a backdrop, I'd like you to turn, please, to a couple of the Proverbs. Proverbs 22, the familiar sixth verse, and then Proverbs 20, back a page or two, and I'll be reading 11 through 13. We love the Lord, and we love His Word, and because of that, out of respect, we love to stand when God's Word is read. Will you stand, please, for the reading of the Scriptures, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And then back to chapter 20, verse 11. It is by his deeds that a lad distinguishes himself. If his conduct is pure and right, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. Do not love sleep, or you will become poor. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with food.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures study notes by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message titled, Discovering Your Child and Yourself.
Millions of people will take a life-changing step this year. Whether they realize it or not, it will have a greater impact on their lives and on future generations than how they vote, the decisions they make personally, who they married, where they will work, how they spend their money, what they read, the art they create, or even the technological problems they will solve. These people will have children. Most of them will not realize all of this that I have just described. They will be busy during those 9 months of waiting, making doctor's appointments and filling them, preparing the little room where the infant will spend so much of his or her time. They will be working on their financial budget, thinking about the responsibility of the little child coming into their lives. They will even be deciding what to name the child. And as important as those things may be, they are far from the most important. As the child comes and life gets really busy, they will discover that many things change that were once very simple. Life will get complicated. Mixing with their schedule will be the need to continually prepare formulas or take care of the eating needs of the child, to change the diapers, to deal with the child's moods and needs as days get mixed up with nights. As the child gets older, helping the child learn how to talk and how to walk, and how to ride a bicycle, and how to be safe and not playing in the streets, and 100 other rules that they will teach. And they should. Then there will come soccer games and school activities and church responsibilities that will just go on and on. And unfortunately, the great majority of parents will remain clueless regarding the proper way to rear their children. At the risk of sounding perhaps harsh and even a bit insulting, most of you who are parents today are not raising your children correctly. Oh, you want to, and you certainly will be rewarded for that motive. You simply don't know how to do it. Unless you are among the very rare. We do as was done to us, most likely. As you were reared, you rear your children. As your parents were reared, they reared you. And therefore, the problem is continuing on. As we do the same with one generation after the next, even though we rarely pause to think, why is it that rebellion occurs so much earlier than it did in my younger years? And why is it that those who rebel seem so much farther away from the truth than even I was? What's wrong? What have we missed? What I'm referring to is the failure to know your child. Don't misunderstand. I'm not referring to knowing what color the hair is or those eyes are or knowing the kind of food they like to eat or what they weigh or how tall they are. Anybody can find that out in a matter of minutes. That's not knowing your child. That's observing the obvious. Even your neighbors know those things. I want to help you come to know your child as he or she has been made by God, placed in the mother's womb with a preparation from God that is unlike you understand until you make a discovery. I will say in all candor that when I buried my father, as deeply as I respected him and as much as I loved him, I realized that I was performing that final memorial service for one who really never knew me. Oh, he knew about me, of course. He knew my age, he knew the one I had married, and he knew we were having children. It isn't that he was out of complete touch, he just never knew me deeply. How I am put together, what I loved and disliked, the choices I made and why I would make them. He never really discovered me. Listen to me through these messages. I have now reached the age where I am a grandparent and learned recently that Cynthia and I will be great grandparents this year. Before, we thought we were a little younger. Now we're convinced we're not. Chances are good you've never discovered your child. I checked Webster to find the meaning of discover. This is what I found: to notice or learn, to learn about for the first time in one's experience, to identify. Interestingly, in the process of discovering your children, you will find that you also discover yourself. It was a magnificent, eye-opening experience, and I have the Lord to thank for that. It wasn't until we began to have children that I fully began to understand how I am put together. The parental part of that discovery had not taken place that well. Many of you adults could say the same thing. Having been reared by parents who admittedly worked hard and were faithful to one another and carried on a responsible home and paid bills and lived morally and were involved in the details of our external lives, but they didn't really take the time to discover how you and I were put together. Which meant you needed, and I'm serious here, you needed a counselor. You needed a therapist who, God bless them, spend their time listening to you, paying attention to the things you're saying so that you can know why you do what you do. What causes that? Something you should have learned at home, before you ever left the influence of your mother and dad. But truth be told, most leave without really knowing themselves. Biblically, the place to start is here in Proverbs 22, verse 6. And when I read that verse, I know lips move because you're very familiar with what the verse says. Just for the sake of driving it home deeply, because we will return to it again and again, for in this verse lies many of the major secrets of discovering one's child. I want to read from several versions. The New American Standard Bible renders Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. The New International Version is very similar. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. The NET Bible is quite the same as what I have just read. The Today's English Version reads, teach a child how he should live, and he will remember it all his life. Eugene Peterson in the Message paraphrases, point your kids in the right direction. When they're old, they won't be lost. The Bible that many of us were raised with, the King James Version, or more recently, the New King James Version, though both of those read the same. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Many of us reared in a church memorized the verse, even though we didn't know what we were saying, and even though it didn't represent our later years. We just memorized the words. Cynthia and I were having children before we began to discover what it meant. We were caught up short when we came to realize how much we had missed. And it took a while to catch up and to do it right. In fact, if you will allow me, before we dig into each word of that verse, let me give you a general application, just a general paraphrase of how most people understand this verse, most in Christian homes. Be sure your child is in Sunday school often and regularly attending church. Cement into his or her mind specific verses of Scripture and make sure that they memorize them, along with a few prayers and perhaps even some hymns. Send the child at summer time to Christian camps. If you can afford it during those formative years, place the child in a Christian school so that he or she will be under the influence of teachers and administrators who believe the Bible and love spiritual things. You want them to be taught from those who believe the Bible. Because after all, someday he will sow his wild oats, or she will have her fling. And when they get old enough to realize all the mistakes they have made and suffered the consequences of those wrong decisions, they will finally come back to God. I can't speak for you, but I'll be honest, and I speak for myself. That doesn't bring me much encouragement. In fact, it never did. That's not much of a divine promise to cling to. It implies you're training a prodigal in the making who will turn against you and against God and all who are in authority. And someday, when lots of years have passed and they're too old to keep doing that, they'll repent and they'll come back to God. Ultimately, they're going to come back to those verses they memorized and start singing those hymns they learned. Oh, really? There's another problem. It isn't true. That interpretation isn't true. I say that because you and I both know people who had a childhood like I just described, And then they hit the road running as soon as they could get out from under the thumb of their parents. And they ran wild and they stayed wild. In fact, some of them died wild. So the promise didn't happen. In fact, it really isn't much of a promise. That's a warning. Be ready for what's ahead. I can't believe God would give us a statement in Scripture that means that. And the fact is, He didn't. That is not what the verse means. As important as church or Sunday school may be, as valuable as the memorized word can be, and you know my love for music, as great as the hymns may be they learn to sing, or the songs and of celebration and the choruses of worship, and the prayers they learn to say, nothing wrong with any of that, but when that becomes the way we raise the child and then escort them into life and say, make it now in light of all of this, they will not make it. They have not been equipped to make it, because they enter into an adolescent and adult world not knowing who they are. I'm convinced that our well-meaning parents missed it. Mine did, with me. And no man today could love or respect his mom and dad more than I do. I've lost both of them. I buried my father. My mother had died 9 years earlier, and then when I stood at the gravesite and was a part of the memorial service with my sister standing near and very, very few friends, I came to the realization that my dad had never really known me. Don't misunderstand, I was not abused, I was not neglected in any way, but my father worked. He was busy about his work. And that's commendable. But my father did not know the deep desires of my life, the gifts that I possessed. And again, I respected him and I obeyed him. But I never really felt that sense of oneness with him. And therefore, when I speak today, I speak with a sense of nostalgia and reality. I understand. Thank goodness my wildness didn't get out of control, but there was a period where I drifted away from spiritual things. It was a period of confusion that required the help of counselors to assist me in discovering, who am I? I found a wife who spent some of her time, probably more than she wishes she needed to help me know who I am.
Another transparent moment from our teacher, Chuck Swindoll. Today, he's introduced a new and relevant series for families called Biblical Parenting. And our first topic is discovering your child and yourself. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Chuck and Cynthia have 4 adult children, each married and cultivating families of their own. Now in the grandparent stage of life, you'll appreciate the refreshing wisdom offered from the seasoned father, pastor, and grandfather. As a compliment to what you'll hear each day on the program, I'd like to point you to a book Chuck's written called Parenting from Surviving to Thriving. This has become a lifeline to many families who feel like they're drowning in a culture that's unsympathetic with their goals. Whether you're in the child-rearing stages or the grandparent stage, you'll find tremendous wisdom on cultivating a healthy family. To purchase a copy of Chuck's book called Parenting from Surviving to Thriving, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/offer. These programs are made possible because grateful listeners like you give voluntary donations to Insight for Living. Can we count on you to step forward with a gift today? Whether large or small, every single contribution makes a difference. The best way to leverage your partnership is to become one of our monthly Companions of Grace. In this role, you agree to pray for the ministry and to give a donation every month, which has a multiplying impact on your partnership. In fact, nothing will accelerate the mission of Insight for Living more effectively than the steady support of our monthly companions. Perhaps today's the day you'll become part of this team of monthly supporters. To sign up right now, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or to sign up online, go to insight.org/monthly companion. And if you're listening in the U.S. and you'd like to give a one-time donation, dial this number, 1-800-772-8888. Those who support Insight for Living with a monthly gift truly have a ministry all their own.
God's amazing grace is our overarching theme every day on Insight for Living. In fact, it's quite possible that God has used our daily program to extend His grace to you. And I know, as your Bible teacher, I have been a grace recipient as well.
Our monthly companions are first recipients of God's grace. But when you begin to give monthly, God is deploying you as a courier of His grace. Today, we're inviting you to join the team.
Please jot down our contact information and follow the Lord's prompting. When you do that, you'll become an elegant bouquet, a sweet fragrance of God's grace, here at home and all around the world.
Do for some unsuspecting person what someone once did for you. Become a monthly companion. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Next week, Chuck Swindoll continues his practical study about biblical parenting right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Discovering Your Child and Yourself, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.